Good to see all of you here this morning. Good to be here. I think everybody knows by now that Philip and Lori are out of town on vacation, well-deserved vacation. And I'll be teaching the class this morning. Philip's teaching how we got the Bible class on Sunday mornings. I'm not going to teach that. I'm going to do a standalone class this morning. And Philip will resume with his how we got the Bible class next Sunday. Before we get started, Dave, would you lead us in a prayer before we start?
Our Father and Holy God, we're so thankful to you for all of our many blessings for the rest of the night and allowing us to come to this place to study your word and learn more about you. We pray, Father, you would forgive us of our sins and help us to be upright in your sight. And be with her all through this class and help us to glean what we should know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to share with you an illustration that I read recently. And I think maybe I'd heard this before at some point in the past. Maybe you've heard it before, but it'll be a jump start to our class. The illustration goes like this. A man comes home from work one day, and he walks in the house. And when he walks in the house, his kids are sitting there watching a game show on TV. And he says, "This family watches entirely too much TV. You kids are either always watching cartoons or you're watching some kind of silly game show. Your mother's always watching these soap operas. And I'm just telling you right now, when football season is over, I'm going to pull the plug on the TV." So, what's that guy's problem? In a word, what's his problem? Yeah, there's an element of hypocrisy in what he's saying there. He's seeing the fault, and he may have a legitimate point. His children may be watching too much TV. The whole family may be watching too much TV. But so he's got there's a hypocritical element to his statement there. There's different kinds of hypocrisy. There's hypocrisy like this gentleman here, where maybe there's a lack of self-awareness. He's not intentionally being a hypocrite. He's just being hypocritical in something he's doing, kind of a double standard. And then there's the intentional deception, somebody who's an out-and-out, full-blown hypocrite. And we'll talk a little bit in our class this morning about the difference. What is the difference between the two? So Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines hypocrisy this way. Act of playing a part on stage, a feigning to be what one is not, the false assumption of an appearance of virtue or religion. A hypocrite is one who fakes virtues or qualities he does not have. And then a biblical definition of hypocrisy is found in Psalm 26, verse 4. And in the ESV, it reads this way. "I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites." The New American Standard says, "Nor do I consort with pretenders." The King James says, "dissemblers," which means to be secret, to conceal, or to hide. So there is a difference between somebody who, on occasion, it's hypocritical. We have all been hypocritical at one point in time, more than one point in time, at times in our lives. We've all been hypocritical. But there's a difference between that person and somebody who's just an out-and-out, full-blown hypocrite. So what I want to do first is look at some Bible characters that were out-and-out hypocrites. And then toward the end of the class, we'll look at some other Bible characters who were hypocritical, and we'll look at the difference between the two. So I'm going to be asking y'all to read. Help me, because we got several passages. Just a really quick look at them. Gary, would you read Genesis 4, verses 3 through 7? Genesis 4, 3 through 7. And Scott, would you read Hebrews 11, verse 4? Hebrews 11, verse 4. Okay, Gary, whenever you're ready.
And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sins lie at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it."
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Cain brings an offering. Abel brings an offering. God has regard for Abel's, but he does not have regard for Cain's. And he tells Cain, if you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. The implication is he didn't do well. Okay, Scott?
By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks.
Okay, thank you. So, Abel's sacrifice was offered how? By what frame of mind or heart? According to this. By faith. Abel's sacrifice was offered by faith. Cain's sacrifice was not offered by faith. So what we have here is a situation where Cain is being hypocritical. He comes and makes an offering to God. He's pretending to worship God. And he is worshiping God, but he's doing it his way. He's not doing it the way God wanted it to be done. He's doing it the way he wants to do it. Do we have those kinds of things going on even today? Are there people today who do that? Can you give me maybe just one quick example?
I see the different denominations that we see, you know, they call themselves Christians, but they worship in a manner that they feel comfortable with or that they desire instead of what the Scripture says.
Yeah. Anytime a group professing to be Christians offer worship to God in a way other than what God has prescribed in Scripture, they're guilty of doing what Cain has done. Okay? And that's hypocritical. When we say, I'm going to do it my way, I'm not going to do what God has commanded me to do. I'm just going to do it the way I want to do it. That's self-willed. But in the offering of that worship to God, it's also hypocritical, where we're feigning worshiping God, but we're really worshiping self. We're doing what we want to do rather than what God wants to do. Okay, I'm just going to throw out a couple of others here. Delilah comes to mind to me as a hypocrite. How was Delilah hypocritical? Samson and Delilah, how was she hypocritical?
She was pretending to love Samson, but she was conspiring to have him at the very least captured.
Yes. It was one big show. I love you, Samson, I love you. But if you loved me, you'd tell me your secrets. And this went on and on until finally he gave in and told her, and we know the rest of the story. Okay, Ray, would you read John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13? John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep.
Okay, thank you. All right, so if a man hires on as a shepherd, what is his duty? What are his responsibilities?
Protect the sheep.
To what extent?
With his very life.
Yeah, I mean, he when he takes on that job, he's signing up for, I will protect these sheep, even if it costs me my life. It's like somebody joining the military. When somebody joins the military, they sign up for, I'm committing myself to defending my country, even if it costs me my life. Well, if a man signs on to be a shepherd, but then he runs at the first sign of danger, isn't he a hypocrite? He said, I'll do this. Now, it may be, maybe he's, in that case, maybe he's not a full-blown hypocrite, but he's being hypocritical certainly in the moment. But he may be an out-and-out hypocrite. Okay, Dave, would you read Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, please? Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira.
You say 1 through 10? But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the piece for themselves, and his wife, full of knowledge and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remaineth unsold, it is, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart and have not lied to men but to God? And as he read these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard it. The young men got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, "Tell me whether you sold this land for such and such a price." And she said, "Yes, that is the price." Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well." And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband.
Okay, so in what ways, I say ways, what ways were Ananias and Sapphira hypocrites?
They pretended to give it all.
Yeah, they pretended to give it all, and, you know, Peter makes it very clear to them, while it was yours, you could do whatever you want to with it. And even after you sold it, You could have kept part of the money. There was nothing wrong with you keeping part of the money, but don't come saying this is all I got. And then when Sapphira was asked about it later, she lied about it. She said, "Yeah, all of it." So they were definitely hypocritical in this thing. So we're looking at just some Bible examples of people who were hypocrites in their actions, in their service. Okay, let's go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to just very quickly look at some passages here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. "So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. So if you're giving to the poor, if you're praying in public, if you're fasting, do it the right way. Don't do it to put on a show. And that's what these folks were doing. They were putting on a show. Okay, Vince, would you read Luke chapter 6, verse 41 for us? Luke 6, 41 and 2.
And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye.
Okay, so what's this guy's problem? Is it necessarily wrong to want to help a brother or sister who's in error to see the error of their way? It's not necessarily wrong, as long as we've got our own house in order. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. So if you're walking in the light, we have a responsibility. We are our brother's keeper. There's a sense in which we are our brother's keeper. But we don't go to our brother or our sister and try to straighten them out when we got all kinds of problems ourselves. We need to get our own house in order and then go talk to our brother or sister about the things that are amiss, perhaps, in their own life. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 15 now. Neil, could I get you to read Matthew 15, verse 7 and 8, and then skip over to 22 and read 15 through 18. So let's 15, 7, and 8. Let's do that one first.
You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me."
Okay, so that reminds me there again of people with the same mindset that Cain had. These are people who are honoring God with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. And we need to be always on guard for ourselves, because this is the kind of thing that can creep in on us very subtly, very slowly. As we're studying the topic of hypocrisy, you know, we need to be careful that we're not looking at the hypocrisy of others and not seeing it in our own selves. We have to be careful to see it in our own lives. Okay, Neil, then 22, verse 15 through 18.
Then the Pharisees, who went and plotted how to entangle him in his words, and they sent their disciples to him along with Herodian, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and that teach the way of God truthfully. You do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then, what you think, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites?"
Okay, Jesus recognized their hypocrisy. So what was their hypocrisy in this particular case? Specifically, what was their hypocrisy?
They were going to Jesus pretending that they respected his opinion, but in fact they were only trying to set a trap.
Exactly. They were pretending, and you know, we've seen this through life, where people kind of butter us up, flatter us about this or that or the other, and then we find out they had an ulterior motive behind it. So that's what's going on here. Okay, then in Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 33, and I don't know that we have time to read that. Well, I think maybe we do have time to read it. Just read along with me. Starting in verse 13 through 33. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from the people. for you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and you, for a pretense, make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around the sea and land and make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much the son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, guides, blind guides. You say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the golden temple is obligated. Let's skip down to verse 23 for time's sake. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin. Skip down to verse 25. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside are full of robbery and self-indulgence. Verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like a whitewashed tomb in which the outside appears beautiful, but the inside is full of dead men's bones and are unclean. So you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Verse 28 kind of hits the nail on the head. Outwardly you appear righteous, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy. Verse 29, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 32, fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How will you escape the sentence of hell? And then in verse 24, verse 48 through 51, he says here, but if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come in a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour which he does not know, and will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So based on that verse, and also the previous verses we read, what's the ultimate end result going to be for the hypocrite?
Eternal damnation.
They're going to hell. I mean, it's pretty plain and simple. If you are an out-and-out hypocrite, you're not going to make it to heaven. Someone who willfully, deliberately, intentionally lives a life of deception. They're pretending to be one thing when they're something else entirely. That person is not going to make it to heaven. So hypocrisy is a very, very serious thing. And we need to be able to recognize it when we see it. Can't always see it because people are very good at hiding it. But we also need to be very good at seeing it in ourselves. Constantly aware of self. Am I genuine? Am I honest and true with myself? Am I honest and true with others that I deal with? Am I honest and true with God? Or am I playing a game here? Which is it? Okay. So, we talked earlier about the man who came home and asked his family because they were watching too much TV, and he was being hypocritical about it. So what is the difference between someone who is a full-blown, out-and-out hypocrite and someone else who, in a moment of weakness, intimidation, whatever it may be, acts hypocritical in a moment in time?
Repent and ask for God for forgiveness, but I think one has accepted a type of behavior and it doesn't bother him to be that way, whereas the other may come to his senses and recognize that. It's not a practicing of sins, but it's a recognizing, hey, what I said to the kids, that applies to me too.
Yeah.
And need to repent and change.
And if his wife pointed it out to him, he might say, oh, yeah, I see your point.
Exactly. Right. Wives are real good at that.
Yeah. Yes,
and it may just be one of those sins, that those internal struggles that really someone is struggling with, even externally they live a great life, but that may be their struggle to really deal with sin in that way.
Yeah. And we all deal with sin. None of us are perfect, and we're to walk in the light as he is in the light, but at the same time, we're taught in the book of 1 John that even though that's the case, we're striving to be in the light and walk in the light. We have to recognize that we have sin. But if we go to God and confess that sin and seek his mercy and grace, he'll give it. Ken.
When Nathan told David, "Thou art the man," he immediately set about to correct him.
Which is a good segue into the next section of our study. So let's talk about some Bible characters who were hypocritical at some point in their life, but they weren't full-blown, out-and-out hypocrites. And I'll start us off. Abraham, okay? There were two occasions that Abraham was hypocritical. One was when he was before Pharaoh, and one when he was before Abimelech, the king. Do you remember what he did in those two cases? He did not tell them that Sarah was his wife. She was his half-sister, but he didn't tell the whole story, like Paul Harvey used to say. Now here's the rest of the story. He didn't tell them the whole story. Why did he do it? He was afraid. He was afraid for his life. Sarah, the Bible says, was a very beautiful woman. And he was afraid when he went into their company that they would look at her, and if they knew that she was his wife, they'd just kill him, get him out of the way. And out of fear, he did this. So there's a case of a man who did things that were hypocritical, but he wasn't a full-blown hypocrite. And we've all had those in our lives. We've all had moments in our lives when we did things that went 180 degrees out from what we knew was right. But the difference between that and a full-blown hypocrite is the full-blown hypocrite never has remorse about any of that stuff. He doesn't want to get caught. But a person like Abraham, he's going to feel bad about it. A sincere Christian, when he or she is hypocritical in the moment, they know it. And they feel terrible about it. They're not going to be at ease until they make it right. And that's the primary difference. What about King David? Let's talk a minute about, was there any hypocrisy? And you know, David was the man after God's own heart, the Bible says. But were there any moments in time where he was hypocritical? King David.
Talking to this, to the prophet, I can't pull his name out. We were talking to him and we found out that our man.
Yes. It related to his sin with Bathsheba. Okay? So, here's a man after God's own heart, and he yields to this temptation. Here's this beautiful woman bathing out on her rooftop, and he sees her, and he wants her, and he calls for her, and he has the relationship with her, and then she conceives as a result, and he has her husband Uriah killed, and he's trying to hide it, and seems like he's doing a pretty good job of hiding it, but who did he not hide it from? God. And so God sent Nathan to him, and Nathan pointed it out to him, and David had a kind of a prodigal son moment. He came to himself. His eyes were open. The light bulb came on, however you want to say it. And David knew that he had sinned. But who did he say he sinned against? He sinned against God. And anytime we sin against God. We may be also sinning against other people in the process, but first and foremost and primarily, we're sinning against God when we sin. And so, what was David's reaction when Nathan confronted him, Ken? You mentioned it. What was it? What was David's reaction when he was confronted?
Well, he admitted what he did, and he immediately set about to make a change.
Yes, he sure did. And that's the difference between a full-blown hypocrite and somebody who is trying to serve God and be sincere, but is going to make, going to do something hypocritical from time to time. Yes.
David knew he was sinning all along. That's why he was covering it up.
Yeah.
He knew he was wrong in what he's doing. He knew he was in trouble when Bathsheba got pregnant. So he tried to bring Uriah home and cover it up that way. And, you know, and then he did that and did that. When Nathan came to him, he wasn't making him aware that he was sin. He was letting him know that his sins were not hidden. And when you look, when you think about what's going on with David doing this, he wasn't, he might have thought to himself, I'm hiding this. But there were generals who knew what he had done. There were heathens that knew what he had done. Certainly God knew what he'd done, but even the people he thought he was concealing it from, they, you know, there were people who knew it. And Nathan came to him and woke him up and said, this isn't hidden. You're not fooling anybody. You're certainly not fooling God. And convicted him of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when a minute ago when I said the light bulb came on, I wasn't implying that David didn't realize he had sinned up to that point. He knew all along he was sinning. It's just, you know, sometimes we can kind of just push things out of our mind, push it to the back burner. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. He knew all along he was wrong. But when Nathan came to him, he was like, yes, I've got to make this right. And of course, the main point we're trying to make here about this is he did the right thing. When he came face to face with it, he did the right thing. Can you think of some other Bible characters that weren't out and out hypocrites, but were hypocritical in the moment?
Well, Peter was.
Okay. All right. Tell us about Peter.
What? Galatians, where Paul poses him to his face.
Galatians 2.
Okay, because what he did was he was, you know, preaching the word, preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. But when the Christian Hebrews or Christian Jews came down from Jerusalem, he kind of set himself apart, kind of kept himself away.
Would you read that for us? Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14.
But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy.
14.
But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel Gentiles to live like Jews?
Okay, so when we read this about Peter, we're like, how could he do that? I mean, who went to Cornelius' house? Who saw the vision on the sheet that was dropped down with all the animals on it and was told, arise, kill, and eat? It was Peter. I mean, of all people, Peter should have known that these Gentile Christians are in every way equal to Jewish Christians. There's no distinction. God makes no distinction. God has torn those barriers down. And yet, in the moment, there's this peer pressure, which brings about fear, wanting to be accepted, and Peter caves in. But Paul rebukes him. Does Peter get mad and run off and pout about it? No. I think the obvious implication is, and throughout the balance of Scripture, we see that Peter accepted the rebuke. And shouldn't we all, each one of us, be willing and of the frame of mind and heart that a brother or sister comes to us with a legitimate, hey, brother, hey, sister, you need to look at this. You're getting off the rails here. Shouldn't we be willing to receive that with the right kind of heart and the right kind of attitude? Instead of, who do you think you are coming to me? No, we shouldn't have that attitude. We should be receptive and willing to accept it. All right, what about, was there another case in which Peter was hypocritical? Yeah, Matthew 26. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Ray, would you read 31 through 35? Matthew 26, 31 through 35.
Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same.
Okay. Do you think Peter meant what he said here? I mean, did he mean it in the moment?
Not scared at the end.
Yeah, he absolutely meant it. That was his full intention. But we know what happened, don't we? When Jesus was arrested, of course, Judas betrayed him, but all the other apostles, not just Peter, but all the other apostles abandoned him. They all said they would stick by Jesus even to the end. They didn't. And everything kind of seems to be unraveling in front of Peter's eyes, and he was afraid, and then he denied Jesus three times. But look at verse 75. Same chapter, Matthew 26, 75. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. He acted hypocritically. But Peter was not a hypocrite. He was not an out-and-out hypocrite. Full-blown, full-time pretender. He's a man just like you and me, weak in a moment, and he acted hypocritically in a moment. I'm not trying to be soft on hypocrisy. God's not soft on hypocrisy, whether it's somebody who's an out-and-out hypocrite or somebody who's being hypocritical. But we all are sometimes hypocritical. Yes.
There's a common thread in each one of those things. And what it was in each case, they were more concerned what people thought about them than they were what God is doing. They're putting on a show for people, and they're not concerned about what God thinks.
Exactly. That's really at the root of hypocrisy. Yeah, Dave?
Even before all that, when Jesus told him to get behind me, Satan, "Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things of God, but those of men." Right. So he had a real problem of being a man believer.
Yeah. We all have our, as Scott pointed out a minute ago, we all have our struggles, things that we struggle with. And we have to be aware of those and constantly, with God's help, working on those things and trying to improve and get better. The out-and-out hypocrite, he doesn't care. The person who's a sincere believer trying to do what's right, when he does this, when he's hypocritical, he's eventually going to come clean. He's not going to feel right in his heart until he comes clean. And we see that with David. He came clean. Peter came clean. So what are some of the consequences of hypocrisy in our life? Well, for time's sake, I'm just going to rattle off a few. David, consequences of David's sin, shame, guilt, the death of the child that was conceived with him and Bathsheba. The kingdom would be taken from him. The consequences can be a tarnished tarnished reputation. Maybe you have a good reputation among your brothers and sisters in your family, in your community, and when you're caught in hypocrisy, that reputation could be damaged. But let me ask this question. Is someone who is caught in an act of hypocrisy necessarily finished for life, unredeemable? No, they are not. And Peter, when Jesus told Peter, you say you're going to hang with me? You're going to deny me three times before this night is over. And he did. But after Jesus was resurrected, he told Peter, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, take care of my sheep. Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him. Jesus knew that Peter had a propensity for wanting to please people. Jesus knew every weakness that Peter had. But he also knew of his character. He also knew of his strengths. He knew of his heart. His heart's desire was to please God. His heart's desire was to do what was right in God's eyes. And so even though he told Peter, you're going to do all these things, after Peter had done those things, he said, tend my sheep. He didn't give up on Peter just because Peter was hypocritical in a moment in time. And we need to be careful not to give up on a brother or sister who is caught up in a hypocritical something that we may see a hypocrisy in our brother or sister. But if that brother or sister is willing to repent of that and make that right and come clean, as we say, we need to be willing to not lose confidence in them. We don't need to hold that as a grudge against them for the rest of their life or think they're irredeemable because how could they have done such a thing? Well, except for the grace of God, there go I. I mean, we are all capable of doing bad things. Now, if somebody's an out-and-out hypocrite and that's just the life they're living and that's their course, then there's no tolerance for that. God has no tolerance for that. But the Christian who is hypocritical in the moment, repents of it, comes seeking mercy and grace, God gives it. And we need to be willing to give it as well. So that's the class. Thank you.